the Quran and the Hadith, in the light of the Quran and the Hadith, if we attain such an action, amal, and the speciality, the uniqueness of that practice or that action is that however much worship we do, all of that worship, if all of that becomes beloved to Allah due to one certain action, that would be good. And the second speciality of this action, so the first one is that it would cause all our actions to be accepted, and the second speciality of this action is that on the Day of Judgment, Allah Ta'ala will account everyone for their deeds. Deeds will be presented, every individual will present his deeds, positive, negative, and the deeds will be weighed on the scale. Then at that time, due to this special action and the speciality, the uniqueness of this action, that individual who has this action, for example, like one person prays salah, and the other person has done this action, this specific action, then his salah or her salah will be many times over more greater than that first person. If a person has gone on Hajj and person B has done Hajj with this specific amal, then his Hajj will be many times over better, greater. So it will be a beautiful group. And everybody will say that I've prayed salah, we've prayed salah. How comes his salah is stronger, greater, more reward? He used to stand with us in the same row. We used to play in the same masjid, in the same mosque. We used to pray in the same place. And we did Hajj together. So how can this occur? How can this be? That we were in the same room on the Hajj trip, and his Hajj, mashallah, is very great and has attained so much reward. How can this be? In the same way, fasting. Everybody keeps fast, isn't it? Alhamdulillah, everybody does good deeds. And then when the accounts will come for fasting, and that person's fasts, it will be more, his fast will be better, more reward, greater, more quality than everybody else around him. And everyone will be amazed at what's going on here. How comes his fasts have got more reward than us? And let's take zakat. We do all these actions. Who is it that doesn't implement the fard? So the faraid will be asked for us, isn't it? Salah, fasting, hajj, zakat. So nafal won't be asked, will they? First the faraid will be asked, the compulsory actions. So for example, a person who doesn't give zakat and he does everything else, Allah says, step back. First comes fard, zakat. Because the value of a fard, one compulsory deed is so much that all our lives, if I pray salah, but not a nafal salah, all my life can compare to one fard salah. Because it's fard. That's how weighty is it. The nafal can have no status or rank compared to a fard. So, the fard action of zakah, if we look at all the faraid actions, then he also gave zakah and everybody else will have given zakah. But his zakah, his charity, the reward will take him to the high maqams of Jannah, of Paradise. Hajj, zakat, we have the salah, the prayers, the fasting. All of his deeds, especially the faraid deeds, will give him immense reward above everyone else. And then the nawafil, the voluntary actions, and the best salah, which is the king of all of the nafil salahs, is the tahajjud salah. And we should try to make this a habit in our lives. And the wali of Allah who passed away, I think maybe it was Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatul alayhi, and people saw that all my life, my ibadat, everything Allah Ta'ala put to one side, and my forgiveness came due to waking up in the night, just two rak'ah salah in the night, I got the prayer, the forgiveness due to this. Allah Ta'ala loved it so much. Don't ever think that, oh, what's two rak'ah in the night? No. 10 minutes before, even if 10 minutes before Fajr time starts and you wake up and shaitan says, no, what's the point now? You're only going to get two rakat now. What's the point of getting up now? What's the difference? Why get up now? No, jump up off your mattress straight away. Do wudu, ablution, and pray the two rakat, two units of salah. And alhamdulillah, nowadays, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala has given us an open sale, open bargain, that sleep quickly. Yeah, that even if you enjoy yourself fully, even then you'll sleep at 11 p.m., isn't it? You can't stay awake later than that, is it? So then from 11, you can sleep. Nowadays, mashallah, Sub Sadiq, dawn. Where does dawn, where does Fajr time start? People, mashallah, when they come back, people leave, they pray in Ishraq after sunrise when people come back from work. In other words, the day is so short. You will have seen people, mashallah, the people who are praying Ishraq, there are people coming back from work, finishing their shift. So the night is so long. So the Nawafil Salah, mashallah, Tahajjud, which lasts up till quite late nowadays in the night. And don't be lazy in this Salah. It's very useful indeed. So at that time, when his voluntary actions and his Salah, everybody will have Tahajjud, but this individual, because he will have carried out that special action that I mentioned in the beginning, so his Tahajjud will also be transformed. And for example, if you have the habit of giving sadaqah, charity, so when your sadaqah is presented, then those people, that group of people who have done this amal, this action, they will become very strong in rubu due to their speciality of the actions. So all of his nawafil, voluntary actions, even these will be better and greater and more powerful than everybody else's. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that this man, he understood the right message from the Quran and Hadith, and he elevated his deeds to the heights. So shall I tell you what is that amal? The underlying success. Will you do it? Say inshallah. Say it loudly, inshallah. It's very easy action. Very easy action. And look where it will take us with the fadl of Allah. And what is the reason? Why don't we practice this deed? Let's listen to the reason, isn't it? Why we don't? Because the action that will elevate our deeds to the heights, they will make our deeds beloved to Allah. Our prayer will be so powerful. Our hajj will be powerful. Our fast will be powerful. So how will that person who's against us accept this? MashaAllah, you're buying a new car, a new house, everyone's happy, but your enemy, he won't be happy, will he? He'll despise you. He'll come in the night and he'll scratch your car on the roof or the bonnet. Let's spoil his car. And the enemy cannot withstand the fact that, for example, you're making a map or a building or a drawing or some plans and you're looking at your things, and the enemy will be jealous. Oh, say, oh, what's this? He say, no, let's destroy this building, these plans. How could he make this building? How did he dare to do this? How did he buy this car? How can he have got these assets? So when you're going very great and fast and elevated in your deeds, you've planned your amal, you think your enemy will sit quietly and let you practice? Who is our enemy? Who? Avowed enemy, shaitan. So totally he will try his hardest that we do not practice this deed. Remember this. So when you practice something, an amal, which takes you close to Allah, and you attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness, and you get the destination that close to Allah, then shaitan runs after that person. In as much as strong you practice the deeds to get close to Allah, as strong the shaitan will run after you to stop you, prevent you from implementing those deeds. He will put his full force behind his efforts to stop us doing good deeds. But if the insan, the human being, doesn't worry about shaitan, how does he get saved? How does he overcome the attack of shaitan? Let me explain this point to you. That shaitan, who's got the power and strength, and he's cunning and clever, and he's running after us. So for example, when a person's fighting with the enemy, he has a plan. He has something to do, some strategy to overcome the enemy. So Allah Ta'ala says, despite shaitan being cunning and clever and strong and powerful, and it's difficult, but the insan says, no, I'm going to do this action, doesn't matter what happens. So what saves us at that time? The courage and determination, niyyah, intention, solidity of intention, courage, strength of resolve, mard. Allah Ta'ala says, mard, like a man. He confronts his tussle with shaitan. Allah said that on the day of judgment, I will address that person nicely on the day of judgment. And he defeated his enemy shaitan with what? With courage and determination. He didn't lose heart. He didn't lose heart. He says, I'll see what happens. Shaitan said, what are you doing? Don't do this. This will happen. This is not good for you. Don't do it now. Do it later. He makes us so scared that we don't even go towards that deed. We don't even run to that deed. But the person who wants to strive and make effort, like for example today, Allah has given to us the ability to listen. You say, no. This is wrong what shaitan's saying. Doesn't matter how much he tells me. Because he comes in different forms, shaitan. And he will try to put us astray. You say, what are you doing here? Why did you do this? No, don't do this. Because shaitan comes in every form, with every angle and strategy. But the person, he needs to think that what is more important and powerful than shaitan? Quran and Hadith. And if a person knows that the Quran and Hadith is confirming this action, doesn't matter how great a person who's got kitabs and books, he says, no, don't do it. Say, look, put this to the side. From the Quran and Hadith and the lives of the Sahaba Ikram, it is proven. And then there's such a big benefit. I cannot leave this action. This amal I will do definitely. And what do we call this? This is courage and determination. Resolve. Person who has niyyah. And this comes in our action. Will we pass the test at that time? Will we? What did I say to you we need to have? What do we need to do? We don't listen to shaitan or anyone else. That anyone who tries to put us astray or off track, then that person also the worker of shaitan. He is the assistant of shaitan, the coach of shaitan. Brothers, maut is near. Death is near. We see people who are passing away, disappearing from the earth. They're passing away. People we knew. Let's not be lazy. Let's not be neglectful. This deed, we need to grab it. Very valuable and beneficial deed and action, this amal is. And what is that amal? Shall I tell you? Shall I tell you? What is it? In the Quran, it is full of the advice. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ SubhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala said this. That kathira dhikr, dhikr kathiran kathira, dhikr in abundance, high quantity. Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And Allah says, I'll give you the falah. And who are we listening to? Whose advice are we taking? Allah says, do dhikr kathiran kathiran. And shaitan says, no. Don't do dhikr kathiran kathiran. You don't need to do it. There's no benefit of doing this much dhikr. Oh, this is a waste of time. Oh, it's invisible. Oh, why don't I do this for this amount of time or this for that amount of time? Doesn't matter what you have to do. Doesn't matter what you have to do. Whatever action you are going to do. Whatever things you need to do. If you do them along with dhikr, in parallel with high quantity of dhikr, that same amal will go to the heights, to the skies. So do actions. Do all other things, your careers and your other actions and pastimes, but do it alongside dhikr in parallel. Dhikr kathir and kathir. Nobody will stop you. If you feel like, I'm going to stay up all night, stay up all night. I want to fast, fast. Who's told you not to do this? Yes, shaitan tries to trick us. Oh, what's the point of doing dhikr? Do this other amal. Or do that amal. Who says don't do this amal? Shaitan says, no, don't do dhikr. Read Quran more. Read Quran. Who said don't read Quran? Read as much Quran as you. When does Allah say don't read Quran? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the underlying deed which will give the strength to all our deeds. Allah says, if you want to see the strength, the greatness of your deeds on the day of judgment, then do dhikr of Allah in abundance in parallel with all the other deeds you do. You understand? So we know we say that, oh, this dish is nice. This curry is nice. But you should have put some dhania, some coriander on top of the curry. You understand? Dhania, coriander. And that gives the nice fragrance fresh. Otherwise, if you make potato and meat, alu gosht, and a lot of people put dhania on the top, coriander, they cut it and sprinkle it. If somebody gives you alu gosht, potato with meat, but if he sprinkles the dhania, coriander on top, you say, ah, I really enjoyed that. So Allah will say, that's fine. Everyone's bringing their Quran, their hadith, their knowledge. Very good. Allah says, the enjoyment will be like the coriander on the top will be if you do dhikr, the icing on the top. I'm trying to explain to you with the method so we understand. So look how far this deception goes. Oh, people are doing dhikr. I'm going to read Quran. Read Quran. Do the people who do dhikr not read Quran? MashaAllah, they read Quran sahih, properly, with Allah Ta'ala's fadal and grace. That dhikr, when a person does dhikr kathira, lots of dhikr, then he reads Quran correctly as well. Oh, you know, these people are sitting in the corner. Allah, Allah, Allah. All they do is dhikr. No, I'm going to read nafl. This is much rule for nafl. Alhamdulillah. Read the nafl salah. And the people who do dhikr, when he prays nafl, then his nafl will go high, high, beyond all the normal people. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the day of judgment when salah will come, when a person's salah will be presented, the dhakir salah will be greater because he did dhikr kathir and kathira alongside his prayer in parallel as opposed to a person. So when a person brings zakah, the dhakirs who did a lot of dhikr, his zakah will be more powerful and greater. When somebody brings sadaqah, charity, voluntary charity, his sadaqah action, the dhakir, will be greater, his reward, than the person who didn't do dhikr. So the dhikr of Allah, it doesn't stop or prevent you doing anything else. It is, you know, the tarka. You know, tarka is a word in Punjabi, tarka. What do we say in Urdu? Bagar. And in Gujarati, I don't know what the word is, bagak or something. But when you finish making the dal, when you cook dal, nice dal, at the end, you fry the onions and some other things, spices, and you sprinkle it on top of the dal. And you'll like the taste. So if you fry it, make it hot, the onions and the garlic, the ginger and some spices, some ginger and some onions, and then you put it on top of the dal. Feeling hungry? Ah, the difference, eh? Feel hungry already, isn't it? So there's a difference on the dal in the same way. Do the amal, put the tarka. If you have dal and there's no tarka, you won't like the taste. In the same way, if you have deeds, you need to put the tarka. You need to put the icing on top of the cake. I said, what's the point of just having dhikr on its own? Dhikr, for this reason, is you decorate your dhikr with ibadat, with worship. So, I want to go Umrah. Go on Umrah. Definitely go. Walking, talking, Allahu, 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 Allahu. And your dhikr should be such that your whole character should become a dhakir. Like a dhakir. Hazza Hakimul Ummat. Rahmatul Alim, Allah have mercy on him, on his grave, and thousands and millions and billions of du'as and rahmah, may it rain down on his grave, that he was a wali of Allah who sifted through the Quran and the Hadith, and he made deen easy for us to do this amal. And I'm speaking through his angle, I'm not speaking myself. Everything I'm saying is through his sayings and through his teachings and learnings. That's how we started this majlis that we have every day. The dawah gift to you, the invitation. You think this is a small dawah invitation? Small, that all of you, Hazrat, mashallah, who do dhikr in abundance, then you'll realize, well, the people in the world, like Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, rahmatullahi stated, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith wrote in Fazail Amal, that tomorrow the dunya will see that the people of the Khanqa, what they took from the dunya. Tomorrow we'll realize on the Day of Judgment that those people used to joke against was this Allah, zikr in the corner, they don't do anything else, they don't talk about anything. As the Shaykh al-Hadith said, tomorrow you'll find out the people of the Khanqa, what they've taken on the Rose al-Qiyam, on the Day of Judgment, when you see the enjoyment that they're experiencing and the darajat and their ranks, you will present your salah, O non-dhakir people, but look at the dhakireen, where the salah will take them. If you know the Hadith, have we not seen the Hadith? Allah will ask, that, did you not see the Hadith? Did you not read the Quran? وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. The meaning of this was put the tarka, put the icing on the cake. Then you will see how your deeds shine. Put the dhaniya, the coriander on the curry. So not just that you do tasbih, and the dhakir also, listen, the more you do dhikr in abundance, for example, salah time's coming. Now let me explain which salah is coming. Fajr. Let's say Fajr now. One, you get up, you open your eyes, you go wudu, bathroom, do wudu as we do, then Allahu Akbar. And one person, he gets up half an hour before, 45 minutes before, he puts the tarqa on his salah, he does wudu, picks up his tasbih, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And he does the tasbih, 1,000, 2,000, and he goes to pray salah. So when he fulfills his salah, what's he doing his salah with? Half an hour before, he remembered Allah. And the person who remembers 1 hour before, he'll be greater. And everyone who done more longer than that, he will be greater. So on the Day of Judgment, tomorrow, when Allah Ta'ala's friends will rise, the walis will rise, then their darajat ranks will be different. The levels I heard from my Shaykh Hazrat, rahmatullah, his tongue was moist with the dhikr of Allah. Moist, I tell you, because they used to have competition, isn't it, in between themselves, that I want to do so much dhikr before a certain deed, before any worship action, I don't want to forget Allah for a second. These are those people who do this, who have yaqeen and conviction and belief, certainty that Allah, ilayhi turja'oon, I have to return to my Lord. And these verses of the Quran, when they read them, that we are to return to our Lord, then their body starts to shake and tremble. Their body starts to tremble. For example, you've come to this masjid, how much yaqeen you've got after this, I'm going to leave the masjid and go out. You've got yaqeen, isn't it? Belief, total yaqeen. Yes, we've come and we're going to leave here. Total yaqeen. So those people, they have so much yaqeen that we have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like we've come to the masjid, we know we're going to go home. We believe so much, 100%. So the people, the walis wala, know we're not going to stay here, delay here. We've got to go back to Allah. So they shake. So dhuhr time comes and they will try their best and let me elevate my zuhr so much that I get first position. Like in the world, we compete with each other for first position. And the enjoyment, you know, when there's a sale in a store, we run to the shop. I want to get first in the queue. I want to get into the shop first, get the bargain first. So the wali of Allah says, let me try my best on this dhuhr salah, because after this, this dhuhr may not come again in my life. I don't know. So I need to get the most from this. But we know, we're going to come in the morning. Just now, if Maut, somebody came who died, and he thought the plane, it struck the mountain. And did they come back? And did they have salah? The final speech, final salah, final speech, final words, everything. Now we're saying final. Listen, we remember them, isn't it? So, am I a new person? Are we new people from the heavens? Okay. Is there a new certificate that we've come? The guarantee that after this, we're going to come to the next majlis. Learn from the events that have taken place, that this majlis could be the last one. That we need to consider and make this majlis the best majlis in our life. Do dhikr, immerse yourself, drown yourself in dhikr. The Allah, this could be the last gathering. And with this majlis, the salah I've prayed, Allah elevate my salah. Allah accept this dua. Allah accept this. That today maut is happening so much, and so cheap has death become, that everything we can do yaqeen, but we cannot have yaqeen on death, when will it come? We don't know. That death, we don't even see. We see that death, how it will come to us, it just takes a small excuse, a heart attack. That's a small excuse. Whoever you ask, how did he die? Oh, he had a heart attack. How? Suddenly we saw him earlier. He had a heart attack, we said. That's another method, another reason the whole world accepts. That how maut has made a scene, a sketch everyone in the world accepts. And rather we ask that, I've got a heart pain, I've got a heart problem. And he goes towards the heart and he says the heart was fine. So then how did he die? How did he pass away? oh Allah, how did this person so early, so quickly, he could have been cured, he was young. And this is the situation, that life is short and death is going to come. And what is the pain of the heart? What is that? That was the organ in the body which pumped the blood and it stopped. That's it. Allah Ta'ala makes the reason, the cause of the death. When you're driving or when you're walking or when you're running, everything's fine. But when you're in the ward, then the valves, they stop, or the arteries stop, or the walls of the veins stop and the blood flow stops. So he was eating 3 chapatis with butter on top and achar and he was totally fine and fit. Where did the heart go then? No, this is just an excuse. Allah Ta'ala says, when death is to come, I just make an excuse or a means or a reason for a person to pass away. إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَوْنَ. Every one of us has to return to Allah. If not from this door, that door. If not that door, that door. Look how many exits we've got here, isn't it? And how many paths they have to come out. There's the window, there's this door, the fire exit. So Allah Ta'ala has made various methods for us to depart from this world. Thousands of illnesses, different types of accidents, road accident, plane accident. Totally the windows open. To go where? To the hereafter. To leave this world. Yes? So just like, for example, here to leave the masjid, there are many exits and windows and doors and yeah. But so there are many exits in the same way to leave the dunya. So we should cry. If we've got yaqeen, we should cry and make our salah elevated, because it's our salah that's going to be presented. It's not dhikr. People think, oh, we do dhikr, we think that the dhikr is the end. Nor does he pray salah, nor does he read Quran, nor do they pray nafil or voluntary or tahajjud. We pray tahajjud, we keep the fast, and we do all other actions X to A to Z. And this is the attack of shaitan. How he deviates a person off the track of shaitan. But the dhakirs who do dhikr, listen carefully. We are doing dhikr to make our love in our hearts stronger, so that our ibadat become high quality. We should have tahajjud, awabin, and ishraq, and nawafil, voluntary prayers, and we should recite Quran, and all the other actions, A to Z. We should fast, and nafal fast. We should all of this. But alongside all of that, in parallel, if we want to distinguish our deeds and make them high and unique, is when we do dhikr of Allah alongside everything. Is it? And people say, how can you do this? Oh, everyone did this. But when the whole world used to carry out all the actions, but Allah Ta'ala said that he understood, he used to do the action alongside dhikr. These people, they polished and shined their ibadat and made them beloved for me, Allah Ta'ala says. For example, you're presenting somebody, for example, an item, and you hand it like this, and then you put scent and a fragrance on that item and you present that, and the value will increase of the item, isn't it? That person, his heart will be happy, isn't it? So this is due to the dhikr of Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Wadhkurullah kathiran. Allah Ta'ala says, la'allakum tuflihun. Do you understand what tuflihun is today? And this is called success. Otherwise, everyone who will pray, inshallah, alhamdulillah, will go to Jannah. Everybody who fasts will go to Jannah. Everybody will go, inshallah. But tuflihun is what? That there will be higher the dhakireen. It will elevate your deeds to the highest, that the people on the day of judgment will be amazed and shocked. The awe, they've earned the highest, the most intensity. When the tasbih used to knock in their hands, they used to wake up in the night and do tasbih. And every masjid, they used to go and do the dhikr of Allah. Morning, they used to do dhikr. Evening, they used to do dhikr. Every hour, they used to do dhikr. Say everyone, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, how much enjoyment. 1 hour to sit down when we do dhikr with the fadl al karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People are sleeping, they run off in the morning, says, oh, how can I sit for an hour? Oh gosh, that's hard, it's difficult today, ishraq, 8:30, 1 hour, 1.5 hours. How long does it take? Looks so massive, doesn't it? But when you sit in dhikr, it looks like time's not enough. The sun looks bad. Where's this sun come from? It's wasting, it's given, losing opportunity. A person wants that he leaves the masjid after praying dhuhr. Heart feels like that, doesn't it? This is called dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. So we sit down for an hour and show me this. It's very hard. But when Allah gives the dhikr and the beauty of his dhikr and the taste of his dhikr, then Allah loves us and allows us to sit in his remembrance. Remember, if you love dhikr, then who will love you? Allah. Why? This is very clear. Reason for this, very straightforward, that I will explain. Oh brother, Iqbal Sahab, come. How are you, Iqbal Sahab? I'm fine, okay. And the tomorrow, Iqbal Sahab, how are you? After that, Iqbal Sahab, his love and my love will increase for each other. He's phoning me every day. First day, Iqbal Sahab, how are you? Alhamdulillah. Then a few days I don't phone, he'll say, you didn't phone me. Then he'll phone me, you didn't phone me today. What's wrong? Faruqi Sahab, you didn't call me today. Oh, Iqbal Sahab, just this. Then the love will increase. So Allah Ta'ala says, Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. If you remember me and call out to me, Allah, then Allah says, I will call you as well. I will remember you as well. So has the telephone call not been made? So when you keep on calling Allah, phoning Allah, then will the love not increase or will it reduce? Tell me. So Allah Ta'ala said this. It's a simple, straightforward path, isn't it? That if you always come towards me, then I will come towards you, Allah says. And when we start to come towards each other, call each other, contact each other, then our relationship will strengthen. When our relationship strengthens, then the whole world will say that, ah, he's a friend of Allah, and they will start coming after us, after me. Nor will you have problems and issues or difficulties, no jinn will come, no shaitan, no black magic, you won't be worried about food or chapati. And you will think for things, and your requirements will be fulfilled. Allah, where did this happen from? As Rabia Basri rahmatullah alayhi, she was a great mu'mina, dervish woman. That iman is not the ownership of a man, of a male. We think the women, they just have one job, make the chapatis. That's it, nothing else. We say, don't think the women like this. Have courage, our sisters. When you see the men going for dhikr, then put your prayer mat out. And nowadays, mashallah, you have this, the technology. So you say, fine, man, my husband or menfolk, but we are going to sit as well and listen to dhikr and go above you in the levels. Okay, we're doing it in parda, at home. And there's no reason here that the sisters, the women folk, should not elevate their deen and their iman to the heights. We see sisters, muttaqi, fearful of Allah. You'd be amazed that how Allah Ta'ala is giving, what He's giving to them. And the same human creation, we will have the same eyes, stomach, and mouth, and face. Al-mu'minun wal-mu'minat wal-qanitat wal-qanitat wa-saimun wa-saimat. Allah Ta'ala is saying in the Quran, isn't it? All the qualities and attributes, the men and the women, the same. Equality, wal-dhakirin wal-dhakirat, the men who do dhikr, and the women who do lots of dhikr. Allah Ta'ala has put everyone on an equal footing. We think that the woman is the slipper on the feet. Oh, you're praying salah, forget this. I'm doing dhikr of Allah, don't disturb me, says the man. Oh, but I want to do this. No, you leave. Why are you doing dhikr? Just serve me and you'll get paradise. Just serve me, woman. What nonsense is this? He says, nonsense, rubbish. Allah Ta'ala says that, subhanAllah, we say, men, oh, that the woman, the man is the crown on the head of the woman. We tell the women stupid things. Just please me, serve me, help me, and Allah will be happy with you. That's it. And you don't let her do tasbih and do dhikr. You're doing dhikr yourself. You don't want them to do dhikr. You don't want to give them the lesson from the wali of Allah. Oh, servants of Allah, men, folk, will Allah not ask you in the day of judgment, that what did you teach your wife? What did you make your wife? Give her haqq, her rights. Yes, Allah gave her haqq. What haqq did you give her? That you were doing dhikr of Allah. You used to go to a sheikh, to a teacher, and you didn't have the tawfiq. That you could also allow your woman, your wife or your partner to learn. So the sheikhs come in between, isn't it? Everybody does dhikr. So I remember this point. I'm not speaking about myself. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, rahmatullahi, this has come into my mind. And if you look at his wise, his bayans and what he said and wrote about this subject, you'll be amazed that this is the tahqiq, the research of the walis wala. Imagine what status he had. As a Tanwi, rahmatullahi, in his malfuzat, he's written such a fikra, such a statement that this made me so happy. He said that everyone does dhikr, but the person who from his sheikh who learns dhikr, and that dhikr he's steadfast on it, then the guarantee is given that he will reach to his objective. The person who does dhikr, he will reach to the objective, definitely to the destination. Definitely. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand? Shall I tell you in English? You don't understand? That the person who learns from a sheikh, a teacher, dhikr, the lesson of dhikr, and that dhikr, he is consistent and regular on that dhikr, then there's a guarantee that that individual, that dhakir who's doing dhikr, then he will reach to that place about whom he's doing dhikr. So Allah Ta'ala, his dhikr we're doing, so obviously we will reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the reason for this? Upon this, the reason for this is that there are thousands of kitabs on dhikr and virtues and do this and do that. But a person, he, time might pass, but the maqsad, the objective is to do dhikr. So when the wali of Allah tells you some dhikr, then that dhikr he will give to you, he will prescribe to you according to your capacity, your ability, and your time. And if you're regular on that, then you will reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a shortcut, isn't it, to get to Allah. You don't have to spend hours and hours beyond what your shaykh tells you, going left and right. And this is what Hazrat Hakim al-Ummah told us, rahmatullah alayh. A beautiful, unique point. So this is also a path. So if there's a woman or a man, a sister or a brother, you should be regular and steadfast. If you're doing dhikr of Allah, keep on doing it, steadfast, regularity, consistency, you will reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now they'll be elevated, whether it's a sister or brother. Hazrat Rabia Basri rahmatullah was speaking about, she was a lady, a pious lady, a great woman, and she was a slave initially, and somebody bought her, and he used to oppress her. All day long, she used to work hard and bad physical state. And what was she? She was a dhakir. She used to remember Allah. And she had courage, determination, resolve. She never left her deeds. And when the night fell, she said, fine, I worked all day long for my master. I fulfilled the haqq of my master. Now I will go to my true master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Rabb. Once he was passing, and she saw that the, it was full of light. So the master was passing by and he saw that it was all light and noor there in the room. He said, "What's this? This is my slave. What's happened here?" And he looked, and that there were the lights were illuminated inside, and the Raz, that secret, was unraveled. He said, "You tell me that these lights, what were they doing with you?" She said, "When did you ask?" He said, "I was passing by and I saw that from your room, the room was shining, illuminated. Now I'll hit you if you don't tell me what was this. What is this drama? How did you get this? That the whole room of yours was illuminated. What do you do?" And she said, "Oh, you realize, so I will tell you." She said that, "You are my master, but I have a real master who's my master and your master. And when you sleep, when everyone sleeps, then I do dhikr of my Lord, of my Rabb, of Allah. And this is the light due to my dhikr." He said, "Go, I free you, O woman. I free you." So my brothers, there are many words to speak, many things to discuss, but it's now time to do amal with the fadl of Allah's grace, that grab hold of the dhikr, do it regularly. Those who do not do dhikr, start doing dhikr of Allah, and those who do dhikr, do it abundantly, regularly, and before you do any action, do dhikr in abundance, and then that action of yours will become full of noor. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. Ameen.